Coaches, Adam Bradley here. Maybe you're not quite ready to jump all in on the Lead 'Em Up Coaches membership. You're still processing and figuring it out and talking to people. We get it. It happens. In fact, we want you to do that. Really make sure you know what it is you're jumping into, because we want you to go all in. Well, if you're processing that, here's a great place to start. Start with our Green Team Framework. It's a 7-part exercise series for a minimal cost that can allow you to introduce the framework, the 3 levels of accountability, the dynamics and nuance within our Green Team that can elevate your program. It's a great way to get started. Implement the Green Team Framework and then assess where your team is at. And if you like it, bet. Let's jump all in. If you don't like it, let us know why. We'll talk about it. But I promise you, it's going to be one of the best things you will ever do for your team.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. I'm Kyle alongside with Adam, and we are joined again today by 2 very special guests from Erie, Illinois, Coach Brad Storm and Coach Ryan Winkler. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the most fascinating answers I've ever received in a live training. Adam, you and I get to travel around the country, and we're so fortunate to be able to work with coaches from all backgrounds, all sports, a variety of different settings. And when we're taking teams through the live training, as we're nearing the end of the Green Team, one of the questions you shared with me that I now use in almost all of the trainings is we get to the point and we ask a coach to share with the players, what has been the most green team you've ever been a part of, you've ever been associated with? And it's a really fascinating question for a lot of reasons. And Brad, when I was up there with you all in November, you gave a response that I hadn't heard before. And I'd be hard pressed to hear again.
Was it 1962? No, I'm kidding, Brad. I'm kidding, Brad. Listen, I know you're near the end of retirement.
Wow.
I'm kidding. Shots fired. I just had to throw a joke in there, Brad. I feel like we're boys now.
Yeah. Well, after that last recording, you know, Brad, you've been in coaching and education for what? This is 35th year?
I'm going on that, yeah.
Okay. So share with everybody, as I asked that question in the setting, we had your entire team there and asked you, put you on the spot. What's the most green team you've ever been associated, ever been a part of? Mind sharing your response, Coach?
Yeah, well, if I remember right, I mentioned there was a couple, but and one was a very successful team when I was at Erie. But the one that was the most green was actually my team last year, the team that I was when I had Geneseo my last year there. We were 0-27, and it was just a remarkable year despite that, in terms of the kids' mentality and how green they were throughout the entire season.
That's obviously. You know, and Adam, I saw your reaction when he shared that. Most of the time, in fact, I'd be willing to say in my experience is 95% of the time when you ask a coach that, the team that they're sharing the response with won some type of championship, mm-hmm. whether it's conference, going to playoffs, state championship, things like that. How in the world could a team that was 0-27 be one of the most green teams you've ever been a part of? That's remarkable.
Yeah. And there's probably a somewhat lengthier story that goes into how we got there. And we can share that if you want, but basically we knew that it was going to be a tough year and we knew that we were going to have to lean into each other and try to, have the right mindset to approach a season like that and looking for wins in different ways. So we started early. You talk about intentionality. I was intentional with that, very early in the off season. And the kids bought in. They kind of knew the cards that were dealt to them at that point and really bought into what we were doing. And up until the very end of the season, they would show up every day in practice. They would work hard. They would encourage each other, support each other, lead each other. And it really was an enjoyable season as a coach. as enjoyable as 0-27 can be, I've had some teams that we won a lot of games and were, it was not as fun of a season.
Brian, you're shaking your head because obviously you weren't on staff with Brad that year, but I'm guessing you had some familiarity with that season. When you think about that, what got my attention with you shaking your head there is that you've had seasons where you've won and they haven't been that enjoyable.
No, we've all experienced that where everyone's trying to get their own or somebody's getting more than somebody else or a parent's expectations for their athlete is so much more than what is valuable at that point. And so I want to shout out Brad. He's not really giving due justice to what he experienced last year. The Western Big Six is one of the largest enrollment size schools in the state of Illinois. So you have all the Chicago schools basically that are all that enrollment. And then we have the Quad Cities that has that with Moline, Rock Island, Quincy, Galesburg. And then Geneseo is a nice size school, but it's nothing compared to that. This literally is David and Goliath at this point. And Brad lost a lot of the guys that he was counting on for a lot of different reasons. So he was going into the season knowing this. And first of all, I don't know what I was thinking. He went 0-27 last year. We're 3-24 this year. So I don't know if there's a correlation there, bringing him on staff or what. But
I'm racking up the wins here, I see.
But once again, the point is, even what we're experiencing this year, Brad has been so valuable in what he talked about. What are the wins? Like, what are our wins? And being able to reframe it that way, our kids have showed up every single day and they compete for each other. They fight for each other. I want to tell just a really cool story. One of the days that we lost our a practice day because of a snow day. I reached out to all of our guys. We do a lot of stuff on Google Classroom, film, all that stuff. And I said, hey, I need you to watch this film. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the key points of the teams that are coming up. They had all day. They had nothing. There's no school. There's nothing. We get there in the morning the next day. Our assistant coach comes to Brad and I and says, 5 guys finished the assignment out of 12. They had nothing to do that day. And so we brought them in. And we knew who the 5 were, and we sat everybody down. We're like, okay, 5 guys that finished the assignment, stand up. The 5 guys stood up. The 5 guys that stood up were the 5 guys that never play on our team. Never play. And they did the assignment. And I have a lot of that because of what we talk about when it comes to the green team. Like, they were invested. They were part of it. And it was such a powerful moment because all the starters, the 8 guys that play, looked and saw the 5 guys that don't get any time. And they were the only ones that did the assignment. And it was a powerful moment that really helped kind of transform and move. Once again, what do the wins look like? Like, what do we need to do to keep moving forward? And that was a really, really interesting thing that Brad had a lot to do with, you know, bringing that to our program this year.
You know, Brad, I'm curious, you know, like, if you could elaborate a little bit on, like, what are those wins? Because, you know, we live in a society where the scoreboard is the win for so many people, right? And maybe not always, but at some point, the scoreboard is the win for in kids' minds, at least when they go into the school. Right. When they're walking the hallways, they're in class. Did you win last night? You know, they're not asking, did you quote unquote win, this proverbial growth? You know, yeah, we won. You know, we they don't want to hear that story. Oh, yeah, we improved in this area and we improved in this area. We're seeing growth. They don't want to hear that. Did you win? How were you able to reframe the winning into this way that the kids actually like owned, that they leaned into, that they would actually accept as like, you know what, this is progress and I'm good with this and I'm going to keep showing up because of this quote unquote progress and these other wins?
Yeah, there were several things. I mean, there was the, you know, we always played everybody twice and you always try to, you know, play them better the second time, or you try to improve in this area or that area. But I think the most valuable were the players, the wins that they would give each other. And we would do celebrations every day before practice, where they would celebrate each other, If they saw something in school or somebody, you know, so they saw someone do well on a test or they opened a door for somebody and they wanted to celebrate that, everything that we could come up with. And sometimes that took quite a while because they came up with a lot of celebrations for each other. And then we would celebrate during practice and at the end of practice about things that went on during practice. And so they were constantly celebrating each other for whatever it was. At halftime of games, as coaches were talking, I would have them go in and they would write three things on the board that they thought they could celebrate as a team or individuals did well, and then three things that we needed to work on. And so it gave them some leadership opportunity there, but they also were celebrating. And then after games, no matter what, we were celebrating. So I think those wins that they were giving each other kind of kept them excited, kept them coming back, kept them feeling good about playing for each other.
Yeah, I love what you just shared there, Brad. I think that's a really practical takeaway for coaches out there, no matter what situation they're in, is the three things on the board. And it sounds, from what you're describing, like you were really intentional about creating a strong sense of ownership amongst mm-hmm. the players last year.
Right.
Did it take a while for that to take hold with them? And what are some of the other maybe ideas and takeaways you can give coaches on how to create that sense of ownership with their players?
Well, we had started that the year before with the previous team that and that would have been 21, 22 or whatever it was. So that they had kind of new. I mean, it wasn't brand new to them, but we had had some players who, you know, were definitely leaders and, you know, better players and stuff. And so they were kind of always in the background. Well, now all of a sudden they were thrust into the forefront. So it took a little while for them to, I guess, do quality work in that area. And the same thing with the celebrations. It's new when kids come into the program or come up another level. It's different for them. But the thing that really helped the most was because of our numbers, we had freshmen through varsity practicing together. And so they were hearing the same language. They were doing the celebrations. They were doing everything. So it was a growth process. And while it maybe took a while at first, we'd been doing it for a while. And so it in some ways was seamless, and it just took them a while to, you know, fill their role now as the new leaders to get it going and facilitate it. And then the younger kids just fell right into place. And so and it's kind of some of the same things we're doing at Erie with the celebrations and having them practice together. And so the kids are all getting this at a young age, seeing what it's like to celebrate each other.
With the three things at halftime, I think building leaders, it also gives the guys that aren't playing a voice in what's happening in the game. Cause some of the smartest basketball players or the players that know the scout the best are not good enough to play. And it's hard sometimes to get that voice. If somebody's coming off the court, coaches are trying to talk to them, but we want the players to be able to step up and also help them be able to get through that. So during that halftime, it gives those guys a voice as well of, hey, I'm noticing this. This is something that we need to celebrate, or this is something that we definitely need to work on improving the second half.
And it was great walking in as coaches. You know, a lot of times, no matter how the first half has gone, and last year was not very good, a lot of times the first half, it'd be silent. Well, not in our locker room. They were talking. They were sometimes arguing with what they thought, you know, we should be doing or what we were doing well. And so there was a lot of communication and interaction going on that usually was pretty positive. And sometimes I had to just let them keep talking, and we didn't get much time to correct things. We just kind of let them go because honestly, it wasn't always going to make a difference anyway. But it was more important for them to have that role and that voice and that ownership in it.
You know, how intentional do you have to be in seasons like that to communicate to the parents and to communicate to the administration what you're doing? I mean, because you see the wins and all of that, right? But do they see the growth? And are you having to, like, do you find yourself in those moments going above and beyond to make sure the parents know, like, hey, I know the wins aren't there, but like, man, you need to see what we're doing. And administration, before you start putting extra pressure on me, yes, I get it, we need to win, but like, I need you also to see what we're doing, because there is growth here. There is success, quote unquote. It looks different. Mm-hmm. How does that all shake out, Brad?
Well, sometimes not very well. with the parents, it really wasn't a problem because they saw it in their kids. The kids were talking the right things at home. You know, they're probably using green language. And with the kids, or with the parents, it really wasn't a problem. They saw, they knew what was going on and what the situation was, and they loved the things we were doing. The administration, on the other hand, it wasn't quite so clear, and maybe that's on me somewhat to not make it clear to point out all the wins we're having, which is why I was coaching with Ryan this year and not still at Geneseo. I think that the people who were important, the players, they knew, and conversely, the parents knew. And after that, you know, I don't care. You know, I was okay with that. So, I could put my head down on the pillow at night and know we were doing the right things and we're doing the right things to try to win. And the wins we were getting were important, that were going to be more valuable down the road. So as long as the players knew and the parents, you know, kind of knew by diffusion through the players, at the end of last season, there was a whole bunch of support from the parents and appreciative. And I still get that when I see them. I live in Geneseo and I see the parents, and I get a lot of, hey, you know, we really miss you. We loved what you were doing with the kids. And, so that I feel like it was worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are going through a similar situation right now. You're coaching together this year at Erie and, you know, haven't had a ton of wins, but you're also very, very young. I think you're starting three sophomores and a freshman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So one of the challenges with that can be upperclassmen that are in the program. Share a little bit, like, how do you balance that dynamic of the upperclassmen who are in, like, we have to win now, like, this is our year, and then the majority of your experience and the people on the court that are the top contributors are your underclassmen. How did you two manage that throughout the year? Has that been a challenge?
I'll talk first, and then I'm interested to hear what Brad says, because he's kind of come in and seen this. So it kind of started last year for us. We had two freshmen that got substantial minutes down the stretch. And I'm not going to sit here and be honest. I'm going to be honest. Like, it was difficult. We had a couple upperclassmen that were getting minutes at the beginning of the year, because we always do that. And that's kind of our program wide, where you have until Christmas not to prove yourself, but, like, it's going to wash out by then of who's there and not. And so, like, I'm going to be honest, last year it wasn't great. We had some upperclassmen that were very frustrated. Thankfully, the freshmen that came up contributed, and they were a big reason why we were able to make it to the regional championship last year. So the upperclassmen that were playing were great. Yeah. And thankfully, the upperclassmen that were playing were really good friends with the other guys and did a really good job of leading them along the way. Parents, obviously, it was a huge issue. This year, we have one senior that is playing quite a bit, and it's been really hard on him. There's no other way to say it. It's his senior year. He's worked really hard coming off an ACL injury. He was really, really hoping that this basketball season was going to wins and losses be really, really special for him. And it took him a while to get kind of outside of those feelings. But I'm telling you, Kyle, we've been really intentional with him, and we've been building him up on everything else besides the wins. We build him up on his leadership, on how he includes everybody, on his preparation, but we are building him up in every possible way through the green team and through lead him up and all the strategies of that. And we're also very fortunate that we have other seniors that are just great guys. There's no other way to say it. They are just incredible guys that show up every day. They know that they are not the most talented. They're there because they love basketball and they love the culture that we've created in our program. And they've added a ton to it. So long answer is just being very intentional about our messaging and how we are celebrating and building up the upperclassmen.
Yeah, I think that's so key there is how you're building them up, what you're choosing to celebrate. And that's such a key word I have written down in a couple of different spots in the notes here is how intentional you guys are to celebrate the things that you want to see in your program. And that's one of the things that we want to constantly share in our messaging is not only that which gets praised gets repeated, but that which gets praised well gets repeated well. And I think that's something you guys are living out, that that you're starting to experience and see the rewards of there. I would love for you to share just, you know, it's easy for Adam and I to get on and record an episode and say, coaches, this will help, this will do this. But you guys are in the trenches. You guys are living this out in the moment.
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's leadership nugget. Looking to grow and develop in your own leadership abilities? I think emotional intelligence is the number one characteristic a 21st century leader must embody. Two key traits of emotional intelligence are self-awareness and empathy. For us to have a positive impact and inspire motivation in our team members, this requires that we are able to discern what's happening internally with ourselves, along with the people around us. To lead a team to a more effective workplace, we must know each other's styles and preferences to work as a team to find common ground in all we do. Leaders who embody high emotional intelligence can 1. Communicate their vision more effectively. 2. Improve their persuasion and inspirational speaking abilities. And 3. Ensure appropriate responses to stressful and sometimes confusing situations at work. Regardless of the many theories out there about what makes a good leader, it doesn't happen overnight. Remember, leadership is a journey. If you're looking to be a better, more effective leader, or if you're working on personal growth, discerning your emotional intelligence is a great place to start. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
What are some things that you've been able to successfully incorporate into your teams through Lead 'Em Up that has made it successful? You know, scoreboard aside, when you're ultimately defining like a thriving culture that people want to be a part of, that they feel joy being a part of, what has been helpful for you guys? What has been something that you would really maybe advise another coach on that might be going through a similar experience that you guys have that is building to great success in the future?
Well, I think when you talk about culture, there's so many different things that go under that umbrella, you know, whether it's the leadership and relationships and all that. And while they are intertwined, there's different facets. And I think when I was doing, you know, some deep dives on culture the past few years, leadership was one of the ones that kept coming back as a big factor. And whether it's organizations or teams or whatever it is, not only the CEOs or the coaches or whatever, but the leaders that they would develop. And so I really started working on leadership in the off season with guys, and would take them through some leadership things, and then take them through the LU captain's course. And so that was beneficial for them. And we did that all in the off season, try to teach them how to be leaders with among each other. So the leadership aspect was a really big part. And the other one was the relationships. We focused a lot on getting to know each other way beyond just what normal classmates or teammates would know. Getting to know them deep, you know, what are their fears and things like that. And it would get emotional at times because the kids really started opening up eventually. And that was hard for some of the younger kids at first, because like I said, we were freshmen through seniors in some of these sessions. And we had, you know, kids openly say things that no one else knew. And it really built bonds with them. And so I'd say the leadership and the relationship intentional things that we did were the most valuable for us.
I think on my end, Kyle, it's helped me just be a better coach. And everything that Brad said, I think is so valuable to our culture and how we're building this. But once again, we kind of talked about this before a little bit, but like, this is an opportunity for us to live it out. It's easy to say how you should do it, but it's harder to live it. And so if I didn't have the Lead 'Em Up program, And if it's not something that I was passionate about, I would probably be handling a 3-24 season a lot different than what I would have before. And I'd probably be hurting relationships more than helping. And I think this program, the accountability that it has had for me, has led me more from being a transactional coach to a transformational coach. And I think Brad would feel the same way. It's not that we're not as competitive. We're more competitive than we've ever been,
right.
But it helps put in perspective of what is the main thing. Is it just the win? And it doesn't matter how we get to the win, or is it, are we building these young men into the ability to hold themselves accountable, not only in sports in high school, but then can they take those skills with them once they graduate and go to college and start a family and become husbands and have kids and be a dad? It's just, for me, this has been just the perfect program at the perfect time where I've been able to really hold myself accountable to these things through other coaches, through my players, to help me be hopefully the best coach that I can be for everybody on the team.
Yeah, I love that perspective you shared, because we've shared a lot of similar experiences. You know, we're all Midwest guys. I'm from the St. Louis area. You guys aren't too far away at smaller mm-hmm. schools when I first started my coaching experience. And, you know, I think one of the things that I struggled with, I've shared this a little bit beforehand, but I was relatively successful early on in my career. I had a ton of winning seasons. And then you get to the first time where you start to understand that this year is going to look a little bit different. And it's going to, you know, it's not going to add up to maybe the winning season that you're accustomed to. And I remember I was driving one day listening to like sports talk radio. And I think it was right after Rick Majerus had passed. And one of the things that they had talked about and mentioned was that, you know, he never had a losing season. And in my own mind, I'm sitting there driving like, oh, man, that would be so cool if you're able to do that. And have that, what an accomplishment, and people remember that about them. But, you know, coming from that background of a smaller school to where you don't have a bunch of Division I athletes walking the halls, and sometimes you're taking what you can get to feel the team, you know, your point about being transformational and not beating yourself up at times. I think that's really important for coaches to understand, is like, more than likely, you're going to go through and experience a year like that. And what was really helpful for me is one of my mentors basically saying that the years where you go through that are probably some of the years where you're going to do your best coaching and where you're going to get the most out of it. And so I started to reshape my lens of like, not only just wins and losses, but are we getting the most out of our girls? Like, are we maxing out our potential? And if we are, then that's what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Have you guys wrestled with that? Is that something where you came to like, I've got to focus more on the transformational aspect because these kids are going to be leaders in the community?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You realize that. But also, I came to realize that was going to make them better players as well. I want to win. I'm competitive. We've had a lot of success over the years. So how can I get these guys to be better players? Well, part of that is their mental approach and, you know, and lead them up and everything we learn and lead them up and PGC and all those things leads, kind of goes towards that. And that's kind of where I ended up with lead them up was with that realization. And it was kind of after in 2020, you had a really good team, had one of the best players in the state on my team. And we won a regional, and we were playing in the sectional against the number one team in the state, and we ended up losing. And after the game, the coach said something to me about, you know, I really like your guys' culture. I really like how your kids interact and how, you know, everything they do. And your culture's, I've watched on film, your culture's really strong. And I didn't think much of it at the time because we just lost and got knocked out of the playoffs. And then COVID shut everything down anyway. But it was weeks later when I started thinking about why, you know, why did we have a culture that, someone else, you know, it was a good culture. It really was, but it wasn't really anything that I was that intentional about. You know, I did little bits of things here and there to try to help with that. But my focus was on player development and systems and strategy. And we, you know, we spent all of our time, every minute we could on those things. And the more I thought about it and knowing that, you know, hey, we're going to have to, have that same mentality to be the best we can be, I started doing deep dives on culture and specifically leadership and things. And that's kind of where I fell. You know, I knew of Lead 'Em Up, but that's kind of where I started, like, hey, I'm going to do this. And that kind of got us into that Lead 'Em Up mode. But I think it was the understanding that the challenge I think a lot of coaches have is overcoming the idea or maybe even fear that of taking practice time away from the court to work on leadership and followership and relationship building and things like that to create a culture. But I believe in what I've found and wholeheartedly believe, and I don't think anyone can convince me otherwise, if you get players in the right mindset to create a better approach to what they're doing, you don't need all that time on the court because they're going to get more out of what they're doing. They're going to retain it better. They're going to do better at it. They're going to hold each other accountable, and they're going to execute better in games because of that. So I think they become better players by taking that practice time away and working on those things. Just like you work on systems and strategies, you got to work on those things. And I think that's the fear of coaches is, you know, the season gets in the way of doing these things. And right. you have to overcome that fear of like, hey, we're just going to have to take one day a week and do this. And if we get practice time with it, great. And then every day you got to fight for that culture and do something that builds on that. And it's not something you can just do at the beginning of the season and let it go because it won't work.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it comes down to one word, adversity. I think we all as coaches wholeheartedly believe adversity will make a team stronger. Adversity will make an individual stronger. Adversity will teach us more about ourselves and what we're going through and how we handle it than anything else. The problem is if you don't have something in place, adversity can also destroy all of it. It can destroy your program. It can destroy you as an individual. And I think that's where Lead 'Em Up is just so valuable. Like it stresses all of the things, all of the steps along the way of what you need to be able to handle adversity well. And that's what we want our kids. Like we want our kids to struggle through things so that they have a foundation of, yeah, this was really hard, but look at what I did to get to where I'm at. And I think that's what Lead 'Em Up does such a great job of, is it breaks it down into all of the different things. What standards do you want to live by? When adversity hits, if you don't have standards, you're going to crumble. You're going to be in the moment. You're going to be worried about the end result. You're going to be worried about your feelings and how you look instead of going back to the standards of, okay, it didn't work out, but this is who I am and this is where I need to get. And so that's what we have been stressing so much with our teams, is these are the standards that we want to hold each other to. These are the standards that as coaches, we're going to hold you to. These are standards that you as players are going to hold as coaches to. And I've loved it this year because that's happened. We've had coaches hold players accountable, and we've definitely had players hold coaches accountable this year. And I think it's made us stronger when the adversity has hit, that we've been able to move to the next goal and the next win that coach was talking about much more quickly.
Yeah, I love that part about adversity because it's mm-hmm. gonna come up at some point no matter what, and having those standards in place to be able to handle that is a very, very powerful thing. You know, guys, as we wrap up here, you have so much wisdom, and you two are doing all the right things to where I would love to kind of give you a scenario here to where if you have a young first year coach that comes to you and is seeking mentorship, and through all your experiences and the things that you've been able to accomplish and what you've built culturally, what would be 2 to 3 pieces of advice that you would give a first year coach if they come to you and is like, hey, Brad, hey, Ryan, what are the absolute things that I need to do to be successful? Curious to what you guys would share in that question.
I think first I would say, hey, get involved with PGC and Lead 'Em Up both. I really think both of them would be things that would be beneficial. I know they helped me grow. I mean, even after coaching for 20 years, I grew so much more after I got involved with PGC and Lead 'Em Up curriculum and the learnings and things like that. And so I would definitely encourage doing things like that and listening to the podcast. It would help in those areas. But then I would say, don't don't buy or don't sell out to the systems and strategy and the player development only. Don't, you know, you've got to invest time. I tried to do at least one major thing a week with Lead 'Em Up curriculum. And by major, I mean 30 to 60 minutes. And if it took away practice time, it took away practice time. And then every day we would do something small and build on that besides all of our celebrations that we would do with each other. So I think you have to be willing to, you know, kind of lose the old traditional thoughts that it's all about player development and systems and strategies and working on those things on the court. Because if you don't develop the mindset, those things are never going to be as good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would also say relationships.
Yep.
That's one of the things that when you're young, I think you take for granted. I know I did. I took for granted that I've got to follow Coach Storm. But I mean, Kyle, like our stories are exactly like Coach Storm built a great program. The first year, 3 years that I came in, I think we won 75 games. We averaged 25 wins a season. We won a regional for the first time that our town had won in 60 years. And it was like, this coaching stuff is easy. Right. But
yeah,
but it's one of those things where I appreciated Coach and I know he's always known that, but I really didn't understand all that went into coaching and the relationship part is number one. And I've been thankful to have Coach Storm and other coaches in my life that in the times has been the most difficult. I've been able to go to them. First time I heard about Lead 'Em Up, I was ready to be done coaching. And our girls coach at the time said, you need to come to this clinic in Chicago. And I'm like, I'm done. Like I was done with parents. I was done with expectations. I was done with everything. And she's like, just come with me. And we came and that was the first time that I heard PGC and I had Adam and his Lead 'Em Up and it changed my life. It literally changed my entire thought process of coaching. So the relationship aspect is so important. And then the last thing is just be authentic, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. It's really hard as you're first starting to like, I have to emulate this person, because these are the ones that are the most successful. The first year that we won two games, it was after a 27 win season. We won two games the next year and I knew it was going to be rough. I knew we'd lost our entire team and I'll never forget a conversation I had with my player after the first five games. He came to me after the game. He's like, why have you given up on us? I'm like, I haven't given up on you. He's like, you're not coaching the same. You're not coaching us like you've coached the other teams before us. And in my mind, I'm like, I got to be calm. I got to make sure that they like all of this stuff. And he's like, you're not like coach us. It doesn't matter if we're good or bad, like coach us. And it was the first time in my mind that I'm like, I'm trying to be somebody else instead of just me. And me not being authentic for a short period of time had a really negative impact on our team until I was able to be authentic again. So I think those two on top of what Coach said, relationships and being authentic, I think are really, really important.
Yeah. Those are both, you know, both. I appreciate you so much for sharing that. That's powerful. And, you know, I think that's the great thing about the community here, and shout out to PGC because they run such an incredible community and a network of coaches and they serve coaches so well at a high level is being able to connect into the point about relationships is, you know, we as coaches need those just as much as the players do. And being able to have those through the different platforms and connect is something that can really sustain a career and have that life, you know, line carry on there. So, guys, I just want to celebrate you again. We were able to record two episodes with you today. Coaches, if you're listening to this one now and you weren't able to listen to the first one that we had Brad and Ryan on, encourage you to go back and listen to that as well, where they share a ton of valuable information on how to really bring this to life on your school and your campus and really live it out at a high level. And you guys are certainly doing that. You're living this out at a high level. And one of the great things that I know will happen at the end is the ripple effect for us all. And for you guys, what you've done in the longevity of your careers, the students, the athletes that you're impacting, that's the ultimate reward because, you know, you may not see it now, but that effect that you're having on people in the community is tremendous, and it can't be overstated enough. So guys, thank you for being champions of Lead 'Em Up. Thank you for all that you do in your school with your teams. And, you know, coaches, feel free to reach out to both Brad and Ryan. They're great ambassadors. They know what they're doing. And if we can help you in any way, let us know. So on behalf of Adam and the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Kyle. Have fun and lead them up.